interviews with artists before they go on stage at the world's most iconic venues. This is Backstage with Dan Diggs. Backstage with Dan Diggs.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Hey. Well, should we do this? Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
All right. Awesome. I'm here with Regine. It's Backstage with Dan Diggs. This is where we go backstage behind my favorite venues and have a little chat before we go on stage. But because 2020 and 2021 are less than ideal for live music, I thought I'd chat with Doug and Regine from Regine over the Zoom, over the interwebs. So how are you guys doing? Thanks for being here.
Good.
Yeah, really good. Feeling Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. And I'm really into your new album, Feelings. It just came out on Friday on Ghostly. And I just love it. I've been championing Moody since the jump. Love Wi-Fi Beach. We're going to get into all of that. I'm so excited. But just to kick things off, because it's called Backstage, right? If this was normal times, where would we be? Where is like your ideal venue to play if you have one?
I think probably if we were in Oakland, we'd be at Starline Social Club. It's a super sweet spot that will hopefully be resurrected when this pandemic is over. But a beautiful spot with like live jazz nights, hip hop trivia, burlesque.
Wow.
All sorts of things in three different rooms. So either in the ballroom or the back room.
Yeah, we did our first show ever there, and we did a show opening for Channel Trace there once too. It was also very fun. Yeah.
Amazing. Really cool. I think that's the future of nightlife though, really. I mean, you've got live music plus hip hop trivia, plus maybe some movies in the back room. Like, that's what it's all about. Man, Starline sounds kind of special.
Dream team.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a really cool place.
Very cool. So take me back to that first show then. Like, what was that like?
Awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was our first show. We had just put out Walkie Talkie, the EP.
Yeah.
And we were in the like small side room that maybe fits like 150 people. And it was
sold out before doors.
Yeah, it was just packed. Yeah. And all our good friends and community were there. And
yeah, Salami Rose, Joe Lewis, DJed.
Yeah,
her and Chef Z.
Nice. Friend of the show, loves Salami.
Yeah, us too. Yeah, it was awesome. It's just like a really amazing showing of community and just feeling the love in the room for sure.
And our first show, my first show ever, singing in front of a crowd, like as the front person singing in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
So it was thrilling.
Yeah.
Didn't know if it was going to happen.
Totally. And for us as a band, just like, you know, running Ableton and playing everything live and just going for it. It was exciting.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
And it all went off without a hitch, it sounds like too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It went as best as it could have.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I want to go back then to right at the very start, because like I got switched on to you guys in 2019 when I heard Walkie Talkie, and I was like, this is incredible. And I started playing it right away. And I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to what's coming, you know. But tell me how like Regine actually started, and like what's the origin story of the two superheroes in Regine?
Well, I had been wanting to put my voice to a project and do some songwriting, and Doug and I had been dating for some years, but had opposite touring schedules for about 3 years. And so we saw each other maybe half of the year for 3 years straight. And we were like, man, we should just like start a project and maybe tour it together. That would be ideal. And so that was the impetus. And we had never made music together, just
only in like kind of improvisational pickup band, like jazz settings,
like club gigs,
but never like recordings.
And then started playing and felt good, and that's how it began.
It was kind of a quick chemistry musically, And we made a few demos in this local label called Native Cat. Mm-hmm. We had showed them to the label head because we were both kind of working on a studio album with her. And she was like, well, you should make a whole project for the label. And it just, yeah, it was just kind of serendipitous. It all worked out timing wise, and our creative flow is pretty natural.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it feels like that, right? When it's just flowing and it's hitting, it's like, well, yeah, just, you know, jump on it. I'm wondering too, like, was there music at the start that you guys were like, oh, like, are you into this or that? Or we should do a project that sounds like this. Like, was there any like songs that influenced what was to come?
I think that we both came from jazz backgrounds, but correct me if I'm wrong. I kind of like nudged you on house and disco a bit. And was like, would you ever explore something of this sound, of this? And it, and a couple years later, we started making music together and working on that. But
yeah,
that was the idea, you know, having jazz backgrounds in our, in different ways, and playing together in that form for a while influenced like the house and disco elements that I really wanted to bring to my own musical project.
Yeah, I think when we actually sat down to write it, we weren't referencing anything specifically, but we had both already spent so much time just like digging on records together, and like we're clearly already coming from a similar place. I feel like it had been like a more of a coalescing of just like years of checking out music and kind of knowing where each other was at aesthetically up until that point.
Yeah, because I definitely feel that with the house thing coming through, because like listening to this, like especially with Moody, I mean, that's like, that's a roller right there, you know. And I feel like it's so cool when I guess like people just have their own on-ramp into house, and they find out, like, I remember for me personally, like it was, you know, when I was back in the UK and like growing up, and it was like, cause electronic music and house music is just so big, but like that first time that you go to a club, that first time that you hear a house set, and then you listen to the music to remind you of the night, and then that makes you excited for the next night, you know? And then it gets into this cycle of like, and especially coming from the Bay, where there's like such a rich, rich history of house. Like, Brigine, did you have like your own, like, kind of, what was your kind of like getting into like house? How did it start for you?
Well, I think just through friends, actually. I grew up in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So I had a couple of older friends who hit me to it when I was like 19. And I remember actually going to a show on tour. There was a New York DJ playing in Madison, Wisconsin at this super like hole in the wall venue. And it was like a house DJ followed by a techno DJ. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm gonna get down with this, but you know, we might as well see. So after the show, both the bands and like the crew went out to this like late night hang, and I danced so hard, nonstop. Mm-hmm. Like, don't talk to me. You can hand me a beer, but that's it. Like, I'm just going. And it felt so good. And I remember texting my friend the next day, and specifically, it kind of dodges your question about the house love, but I had never connected with techno before. And so I texted him, Chaz from Torui Moi in the morning. I was like, dude, I got it last night. He's like, good. I'm glad you got there.
That's the secret though, because it's like, it's that moment where people get it, and it's like that cycle we get into of like, all right, I had an amazing night, listen to the music to remind you of that night, then I'm hyped for the next night, and just kind of goes in that cycle. And yeah, I feel like Chaz is doing it with like Lee Sims and like all that. It's so
totally
good. Yeah. I feel like for me too, it was, I got into electronic music through drum and bass originally, right? So like, because it's so intricate and so interesting. And then kind of got into house when I was listening to like a lot of Masters at Work and like Kenny Dope, Little Louis doing their thing, you know? And then like all of the maestros like DJ Sneak or what have you. And so yeah, it's just, it's such a cool world that Hole opens up for you. Like, it's incredible. That's awesome. So yeah, I just want to talk about, like, you know, do you have then, is there a particular track we could play right now that kind of represents the genesis of Brigine, the way this whole thing started off, or anything that comes to mind? And you can think about it.
A Brigine track, or like another track, like a different track?
Or just a different track that, you know, that you think like that really represented when you first started? And I know that's a tough question.
What's that Candido track that we were digging on for a while? This isn't in the electronic realm as much, more in the disco.
I would say Moody Man Oceans.
Oh, that one too.
And Candido, Thousand Finger Man.
Either or both of those.
We could blend those two in one.
Yeah,
let's play them both. Love me some Moody Man. I'm here with Brigine. It's Backstage with Dan Diggs, and we're talking about their new album, Feelings. It's out now on Ghostly. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Oakland, because I know you guys, you know, you've been in Santa Fe and now you're going to Canada. But I'm really in love with this idea of, even though we're in this big soup of the internet right now, there's still local scenes that are really important, right? And I feel like two of those for me especially is Melbourne, Australia, with all of the great music that's coming out of Melbourne right now. Mm-hmm. And then also Oakland, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, like, I know, Doug, you've played in Bell's Atlas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and then there's like Mirina doing stuff, and then there's you guys, and there's Chaz, Tori et moi, and then there's Natronics, and there's Tune Yards and all that. And it's like, so many of my favorite groups come from there. Like, is there something about Oakland? Like, what do you think it is?
Well, I feel like it's super supportive as a musical community, and like it's pretty tight. Like, there's a lot of different sub scenes, but they all kind of intermingle a little bit. And it's like, people just want you to do your thing at the highest level. And there's no, like, it doesn't feel competitive or like anybody's trying to like cut each other or rip each other off. It's like, it feels like everybody's trying to like do their thing and express themselves, and people share bills, and you can like, you could go to a show and see like someone on an SP-404 doing lo-fi hip hop, and then like a singer songwriter and a free jazz group all on the same bill. And it's like, oh yeah, this is tight. This is Oakland, you know, like you're just like, it feels really diverse.
Sounds like
your
band camp show.
Yeah. It's just like, there's a lot going on and people are doing stuff at a high level, but it's also just all about kind of supporting your peers and going out and, you know, like seeing music. And yeah, I don't know. That's one thing I've noticed about it.
Yeah. Well said.
Don't look over here. That makes perfect sense though. Cause I feel like it's when a city's like the perfect size as well, it's like not too big and then people can get around to shows easily. Like, I remember when I was living in Seattle, and I feel like it was a lot like that out there too, where it's a bit different. Cause you've got this like, almost like a massive hangover of like one of the biggest musical movements ever happening in the '90s. And then kind of like people are simultaneously trying to get away from that, but then do something new. And, you know, but I feel like there's maybe some similarities to Oakland in that it's just kind of like very supportive. People are just trying weird stuff, honestly, like just trying to like Shabazz Palaces and like all these people I love. Like, it's so good. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think there's something too being in like a little bit of a smaller scene where it's like there are those nights where it's like just one genre. But like, you know, you go somewhere to like New York or LA and there's like so many people doing each thing that it's kind of like you don't really have to play outside your scene because there's so many nights for your scene. Whereas in Oakland, it's like, yeah, there is a lo-fi night and there are these jazz nights, but like there's not enough of them that you could just go to that every night. So it's like everybody ends up kind of intermingling and kind of taking from each other in a really interesting way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys, I want to play a track now, if you guys are down to just maybe play something that you feel like, maybe from another artist, because I want to get to your album, Feelings, in a second here, but is there something from another artist in Oakland or a group in Oakland that you feel is like, you know, kind of indicative of that of that scene? And that's a super hard question, but does anything come to mind?
I mean,
or maybe some, yes. maybe something, yeah, like something, a person or an artist you want to put people onto that, like, hey, check out this person doing some dope things.
Oh, what about Meji?
List is long.
What about Mejiwan?
Mm-hmm.
What's the guy's name?
Mejiwan, Mejiwa. We're gonna check it out. Okay, here we go. Mejiwahn.
Do you have like a track in mind you just mentioned, or?
Oh, Boza, that's the one.
Let's play Boza. Mejiwan. Remember that name, everybody. Yeah. We're here with Brigine. It's Backstage with Dan Diggs. And yeah, I want to get into this latest album, Feelings, that's come out on Ghostly. Man, it's got to feel good to have that out in the world, right?
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. When I first heard Moody, the first track you released from it, immediately I was like, I'm in love with this track. It's that groove. It's very like late night too. And it was actually ended up as number 7 in my top 100 tracks of last year. Like I just, this is such a good track.
Awesome.
Of course, yeah. And I was just wondering, like, when you crafted that track, because to me it sounds very low lit. It's very like late night. What was the vibe when you were crafting that and putting that together? And how did it come together? Because I really do love this track.
Yeah. Well, we played with one of my favorite drummers, Pepe Jacobo, who's San Francisco based and is kind of like a friend and mentor. We met on a like salsa gig in San Francisco in my 20s and just like instantly connected. So he's the drummer on that. We tracked live percussion and drums and kind of built a vibe from there.
Yeah, you guys just improvised. I was like, we had him over to the house and recorded a bunch of hours of just like hanging and playing at the house with kind of no direction in mind, just kind of like wanted to catch a couple feels because he's got a really unique style.
Totally.
And then we found like a few loops in this one jam that we ended up like cutting from there. And Moody came really quick. We like found a couple loops that are in that song. And it was just like, we like put a kick under it and like I just started playing some chords and Brigine wrote the song and like 20 minutes. You know, we spent the we felt the vibe and like kind of chased the idea and crafted the song over the course of the day. But once we had the groove in there, it was just kind of like felt like we just got transported from like midday, and then all of a sudden we were like getting sushi and we're like, damn, we wrote the song. Like, yeah. Like, I can't believe we wrote a song that fast.
Yeah, that was our record.
Yeah,
man, the best ones happen like that, right? They just kind of like fall out of the sky and they just arrive to you. They just get beamed into you cosmically.
Totally.
It's so great. I'm curious too, because I love that, like the repeating, like, yeah, that happens. Was that like an outtake from you, Brigine, or like, where'd you find that?
No, it was Doug.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just always like when producers add that, you know, like add their voice in and kind of make it part of the track. Like some of my earliest like subconscious musical influences, I feel like, are like Timbaland productions, you know, just because it was just on the radio a lot when I was in middle school, and he's always doing that. And it's something I realized later, like once I started getting into production, I was like, oh, I really like that, how that's like used.
And once you got into house,
yeah.
Maybe not a backbone, but some sort of like brace to the structure.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little button on the collar kind of situation. Sure.
little embroidery on the
face. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love that. And I feel like it reminds me too of like Machine Drum will do that a lot with like his productions too, just like adding little words here and there. And it's also from the Bay, like Mark Farina back in like the 90s house days where he's like, you know, adding in those little snippets of dialogue and it just kind of makes the track. But I'm all for that because it's just those textures. And also the real ones hear it too. They're like, like, you know, just hear those little things happening. And then are you like doubling vocals on, because, or are you just like pitched down, Brigine, or Doug, are you singing too?
No, it's Brigine pitched down. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That makes the track too for me too, because it's you get those two layers, you know?
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, let's talk about Wi-Fi Beach as well, because like this was released recently and then you have one of the greatest videos of all time. Like as a result, like it's so much fun to watch. Like, tell me the story behind this. And if people haven't seen it yet, they have to go watch the Wi-Fi Beach video. But like, talk to me about like this whole setup.
I had been really wanting to do a video inspired by this Karen Carpenter drum solo she did on a 70s TV show. I believe that's when it was, in somewhere in that decade. And the set was so sick. And she had a bunch of drums and percussive instruments splayed throughout the set on different risers of different colors. And it was just like the sickest thing I had ever seen. Forever, like time immemorial. And she goes through each instrument and plays on these different like pieces throughout this amazing visual set. And so I was like, man, I really want to make something like that. I want to create something like that as a female drummer, as a like visual creative. And so I teamed up with this director and set designer, Nathan Castile, based out of LA. And he was like, oh yeah, we can make something like that happen. Let's, you know, let's take from that world and then create the set. And so I designed a stained glass piece, that one that like comes in for a second with the hands, the prayer hands. And so I designed that stained glass piece and then the backdrop for all the close-ups of the face. And then he had a friend, he designed the swirling studio space, it was all hand painted. And then from there, he was like, okay, but like, what about a second scene? And then we go to this really rad house in Palm Springs and we like fuse the like visual world of that like 70s reference to your creative like visual style to this like throwback house. And then that turned into like every single room was a different scene and then blended those two worlds together.
So cool. And then you, yeah. And then also just like your outfits and everything else, like
it yes, all just looks, Lindsay it's all... Hartman and Animal Cracker Clothing yeah. based out of LA, all hooked it up and designed those pieces. And that was awesome.
Yeah, it was an incredible team. They did it like, we did it in 2 days, no more than 2 weeks ago, right? Is when we shot it? Week and a half ago? Yeah.
Yeah, they did an insane turnaround for that video. We just shot it early February.
Late February. Yeah, I mean like a week. February, yeah, who knows? But yeah, it was
12th or 14th.
I don't even know what day it is now, but
yeah,
it was a wild turnaround. I just like the team threw down so hard that Nathan put together and you guys working together.
Well, awesome. Hey, I want to do a quick thing if you guys don't mind before we wrap up. I'd love to do a little feature we call Five Gems. And this is where we just, you know, go through these things in life we come across and then share those gems and we're all richer for it. So again, no need to overthink it. First thought, best thought, but a gem of a track, a gem of a song, one of your favorite songs by someone else. Who would that be for Brigine?
A Horse with No Name by America.
Ooh, so tell me about this one.
Curveball.
Why are we picking this?
I started listening to America a lot more when we moved to Santa Fe for obvious obvious reasons, but the bongos on this track are particularly crushing. They sound so good. They're tuned up super high and they have this beautiful trot on them. I want to transcribe it. It's been on my list for the next couple weeks, hopefully, if I get my stuff together. But yeah, a beautiful song. Really like cinematic. I wouldn't listen too closely to the lyrics, but I never do anyway. But you know, the amount of times I've repeated, I'm like, oh, what does that mean? Anyway, crushing track.
Incredible. All right, number two, a gem of an album, one of your favorite albums by another artist. What's it gonna be? And this could be for, you know, either you or Brigina or Doug or you both together, whatever you guys want to do.
Yeah, Arthur Verica, the self-titled one.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's like people know, but I just can't sing the praises enough. I love that record. The orchestration and the songwriting, and it's also like just sounds so raw, but like so meticulous at the same time.
Yeah, like experimental but also very intentional.
Yeah.
And weird juxtaposition, because like there are these amazing synth parts and really kind of like some far out moments, and then it all just kind of comes back together and you're like, oh, was that the plan?
Yeah.
That like crazy ass trip?
Or, yeah.
Yeah,
I love that album.
So good. Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like Arthur Verikai, the way he does it, it just looks so effortless, and it looks like it might, you know, and then, but it's just so fully formed and perfect at the same time. And I mean, and if you're getting sampled by Madlib, I mean, that's all you need to know, right?
Yeah, totally.
Amazing. All right, number three, a gem of a live show. So it sounds like the first ever Brigine show was a gem, but it could be anything. It could be a show that you guys have done, or it can be a show that you've seen of someone else's. What would it be?
I had a memory of, I saw Alice Coltrane in 2006 at Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Wow. With her son, Ravi, on saxophone, and Roy Haynes on drums, and Charlie Hayden on bass. And it was just like, I mean, it was ecstatic. It was so cool to see her. She was playing organ and piano. And every time she spoke to the crowd, it was just like, I felt like you were just hearing the words of a saint. You know, it was just, it was really transcendent. Amazing show.
Incredible. How does anyone even compete with that? Like, you could just, you know, like, oh yeah, I saw Portishead, they're pretty good. Oh yeah, well, I saw Alice Coltrane. Like,
yeah, it was special, really special.
That's crazy.
What were you gonna say?
Bye.
Yeah, I feel like you could just lay that card down and just no one competes with a show like that.
Yeah. It's definitely the most memorable. Like when people ask me my favorite show, I'm like, oh, that one. Yeah.
All right, number four. I'm really interested in this. A gem of a movie. Is there a particular choice? Because I feel like music, right? If you're into music, like we all are, that really lends itself to some cinematic feelings. So I wonder, like, what's the answer here for a gem of a movie?
Okay, my knee-jerk reaction would be Total Recall.
Yes, let's go.
I mean, that movie is absolutely insane and still ahead of its time.
It's bananas.
It's a fucking bananas. Masterpiece.
Yeah,
it's really good. So that's I would say.
It's like peak Arnie as well, let's be honest. Like,
it's so good.
Peak Schwarzenegger, so right there.
We watched it last summer for some reason with my dad, and we were like, wow, this holds up. It's like, it's still really good, and it's like an action movie, but actually has some good humor in it, and is like kind of sci-fi, and I mean really sci-fi. But like, it's just got it all. It's a really good play.
The cork to it, like the tang to that movie is fully turned up.
Yeah.
It's like it's insane. And then also that Jim Jarmusch movie,
Midnight Train.
Yeah. Is like art is like
really artful.
Is a different it's a different sauce.
Yeah.
Like
it's differently you know? Than Telerico.
Yes.
Although if Jim Jarmusch is gonna remake or do a reboot, I'd be down.
That would be interesting. Call to action.
Yep. Amazing. Finally, last but not least, and I love this, right? Like a gem of a piece of advice. Is there some words of wisdom, some thread of timeless truth that has found itself to your ears that you want to tell the world about?
I have something, but I feel like you might have something better.
Well, recently a friend said to me, like, never apologize for feeling things deeply, and that if you're an artist, especially, it was in the context of talking about art and feelings, and that it's your job as a human to feel things as deeply as you can and to just be good with that, you know? So
yeah.
I feel
people need to hear that for sure. I mean, because it's all like, we think about like, oh, but I gotta get away from these feelings as soon as possible. But you're right. Yeah. Maybe it is your job to like actually go the other way. Like the way out is the way through. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So is that, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, to like actually take time to sit with them and process them rather than try to suppress them. Maybe, you know,
yeah,
a lot of value in that.
Is that like kind of where feelings came from for the album title? Is there a particular story behind that?
No, but yes. Subliminally, I think yes. Especially because the context of the album or the themes of the album revolve around that exact like conversation in processing feelings and human experience and like how to navigate through heavy and light things, like where do you find your equilibrium and where do you find your grounding to feel like good in existence, and like
yeah,
where's the sweet spot, so finding that.
Yeah, I feel as well, especially like being from what you're saying, because I love that, like especially being here in Nashville, that's a really a songwriter town, and it's true that like this line I keep hearing, like what's personal is universal. And you think that, oh, well, I can't write about this. I can't sing about this because this is just for me. But actually there's maybe 7 billion other people that need to hear it. You know what I mean? So anyway, we're getting deep. I like this.
Beautiful.
There's absolute levels to this. Well, this is amazing. Five gems from Regine. That's awesome. The album Feelings is out now on Ghostly. And I want to know too, like in 2021, I know you guys are, you know, moving around the globe, but what's next for Regine? What's coming down?
Still figuring it out, really. There's some remixes at some point that are going to come out.
Let's talk about those. Who we got?
I don't know if we can divulge yet, can we?
No, you totally can. No, they told me. They told me it was cool. They told me it was cool.
We got some house legends. We got some. I can't say anymore.
It's all over the map, though.
Yeah.
Then I don't know, we did a live stream, our first live stream, that was fun. Maybe do some more of those, hopefully play a show, but probably not, depending on the state of the world, you know.
Playing more live streams, working on an album,
Yeah, working on some new stuff.
Remixes, collabs.
Yeah.
Raising a puppy.
Yeah.
Raising a puppy. That's it. Wow. Yes. What's the puppy's name?
Shuggy. Well, maybe Boogie though. I don't know. We call him both.
Shuggy or Boogie, TBD.
Depends on what kind of how well behaved he's being.
Is he around? Can you hold him up to the camera, or is he off? Just chilling. Cute.
Yeah, he's being good for the moment.
Yeah. Wow. I bet he's gonna get a feature on a track, right?
Oh, for sure.
We're already writing this song.
We are actually.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Talking about collaborations though, anyone you're working with in particular right now?
TBD on if anything's...
It's hard to say. So I feel like we're in the beginning stages of a few that, like, who knows if they'll see the light of day.
Yeah.
But we're having fun trying to get outside of ourselves and just vibe with other people's, you know, creative flow, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I'm especially excited for that and for this remix package as well. That sounds insanely cool, especially with this house legend. Can you give me a little clue as to who it might be?
Detroit.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, that's, it could be a lot of people, but yeah.
Exactly.
Does his name begin with C and end with Al Craig?
No.
All right, well, all right, well, hey, I don't want to get you guys in trouble, so we'll leave it there, but man, please let me know when that is out, because I would love to play that, and I'm really excited for that. So
awesome.
we'll send them over as soon as we can.
Amazing.
Yeah,
very cool. All right, well, thanks so much, this was awesome.
Thank you.
And I'm glad we could finally connect. And Doug, I like all of your other stuff that you're doing too. Another one for Slug. That's a beat right there, man. That's
Thank great. You. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I'm so glad we could connect. So thank you for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, too. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye.